At 7, I take a nap at around 10 or 11, and before midnight I take a little rest, so I'll be looking sharp when ideas come best. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Well, the stars, they shine, and the streetlights, they grin. And I invent the world again. When the radio waves carry shore to shore, well, I invent the world once more. At night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Let's go, let's go. Well, uh-oh, bump-dun-a-bump-dun-a, what day, whoa. Uh-oh, bump-dun-a-bump-dun-a, what day, whoa. When the sun does not, but the streetlights be, the other world appears to me. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Yeah. Well, well, the fog comes in and it's a swirling haze. You know, when the sea and the sky mix their separate ways. I stand on the rocks and I stare at the sea and I see jumping, bumping electricity. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Yeah. Well, the stars, they go with you while you walk. And late at night, you can hear them talk. When the daylight ain't, but the planets are, the door to the arcane is thrust ajar. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Alright, let's go. Uh-oh, bumpin' a bumpin' a, what day, whoa. Uh-oh, bumpin' a bumpin' a, what day, whoa. Well, when the moon is high over Lower Falls, when the Cafe Pompeii is wall to wall. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. Well, sometimes I leave a light on, I admit it, so I don't miss what might be happening any minute. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas. One more thing. Well, sometimes I leave a light on way down low, so my friends will know that I'm ready to go. At night, at night, at night, that's when I get my bright ideas.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
You are going to hear a man who I think is one of the two or three best guitar players in the world. And you're going to hear some people that he thinks are one of the best bands in the world, and I do too. You're going to hear an awful lot of it, and it's called the Electric Flag.
Love is easy. Good Sunday morning, everyone. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. and you're tuned to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Freeform Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com radio. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, March the 20th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. And we'd love to get you involved in the conversation. And to do that, you just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Love to know what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. 617-627-3800. I'll be right back. Okay, just like I promised, I'm right back, and we're going to get right into March Madness. And before we give you the scores from last night and the games that are going to be played today and into the future, I saw a billboard in Somerville, Charlestown line the other day, coming home, and its sign said, "I thought March Madness was about basketball, not politics." I love that sign. Whoever put that up, he has my kind of sense of humor. And a pat on the back for whoever that was. Okay, 4:14 here on WMFO in Medford. Scores last night in men's college basketball. Miami, 65. Wichita, 57. Duke, 71, Yale, 64, Indiana, 73, Kentucky, 67, Iowa State, 78, University of Arkansas, Little Rock, 61, Virginia, 77, Butler, 69, Kansas, 73, UConn, 61, Gonzaga, 82, Utah, 59, and North Carolina, 85, Providence, 66. Saw a little bit of the Kansas-UConn game, and they were either like deers with their eyes in the headlights, or they were just totally outmatched because it was awful, ugly points, and I turned it off anyway. But Kansas looks like they're going to go pretty deep, I would say, in the tournament. But you never know, because I was planning, if I hadn't been so busy this week, I was planning to follow closely my picks. But I got involved in a lot of things, and so therefore a lot more important things, and so therefore I didn't do that. But I'm glad I didn't. Because the upsets were just coming left and right. It was unbelievable. I would have been zonked in the first couple of days. But anyway, hey, I guess that's great basketball if you're a college basketball aficionado. And there are a lot of great things that are going on. And some of the teams you never thought would get that far have gotten pretty far. Coming up, we have Maryland versus Hawaii. Now, whoever thought that Hawaii would have gotten this far? But anyway, they have, and they're still alive. And if they win, they get a chance. Well, the winner of the game, Maryland or Hawaii, gets to play a chance to play Kansas. Iowa is coming up against Villanova, and the winner of that gets a chance to play Miami. Oregon is going to play St. Joseph's, and whoever thought St. Joseph would have gotten that far. And the winner of that game plays Duke. And then we have Northern Iowa versus Texas A&M and Virginia Commonwealth versus Oklahoma. And the winners of those games will play each other. Then we have North Carolina versus Indiana. And Notre Dame versus Stephen F. Austin, and they play off against each other. Wisconsin is going up against Xavier, and Virginia is going against Iowa State, and the winners of those games get to play each other. Now, whoever thought Stephen F. Austin and Xavier would have gotten this far? And then we have Syracuse versus Middle Tennessee State. Who thought they would get this far? And the winner of that game, who thought Syracuse would get this far? So I heard some people say Syracuse shouldn't even be in the tournament. But anyway, the winner of that game gets a chance to play Gonzaga. So there you go. I don't know how you did. I've had this opinion. I said it on the program before. I think John Calipari is a great recruiter. In-game coach, not so much. I don't think he may. I couldn't recognize in the loss that Kentucky had against Indiana that they made near down the end, because I only saw the game coming down the end to the end, that they made many coaching adjustments, if any. He called a couple of timeouts, but I didn't see any plays run out of time. To me, if you start your basketball season way back, August, September, you stop practicing. When you get into a fairly close game and you want to change the momentum and you want your team to try to get a good shot at least to, change the momentum, you call a play that you practice so that the guys can play it, can run it virtually with their eyes closed. I don't see that happening in a lot of college basketball games. And like I said, Calipari last year made a big run because he had the best players out there. Still didn't win it. But, last night just sort of like built into my my opinion that, yeah, great recruiter, but not much of an in-game coach. So, hey, and with all the things that have happened thus far, I can't tell you who looks like the odds-on champion, because I haven't seen them all, but Kansas looks, like they could do it. But, like I said, I couldn't tell whether UConn was just that bad, or whether they had stage fright, or whatever, but Kansas seemed to have their way with them, and probably took it easy on them near the end, or the score would have been even more horrible than what it was. Haven't seen Oregon play. They beat up on Holy Cross. Or was it Yale? Anyway, they won, and they're going up against St. Joseph's. Maybe I get a chance to catch some of that game today. Iowa was not one of the big teams coming out of their season in their conference championship. And neither was Indiana. So, we'll see. North Carolina, I haven't seen much of. Duke, I haven't seen much of. Heard a lot of things about them, but just haven't seen them play. How that translates to the actual game, I don't know. I can't tell you because I haven't seen enough of them to get any kind of an idea. So anyway, college men's basketball hoops is going crazy as usual. And hopefully we're going to have some good games coming up. And we're going to be able to, if we are a, college basketball fan, we're going to be able to get our fill of what's taking place out there. It's, excuse me. It's 421 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, March the 20th, 2016, Palm Sunday edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 about until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Be back.
It's a cycle of life for too many Americans. Nearly 35 million searching for security, but still going in circles. One out of every six children in America looking for comfort, but finding none of their own. One out of every 10 families in America working and hoping that education and training will open the way, only to find opportunity closed. It's the cycle of American poverty. But we can end the downward spiral for the nearly 35 million Americans still struggling to break free by adding more chances to succeed, by making a place at the table of care until there's room for every American. Poverty in America, we can end it, and everyone can do something to help. Find out how. Visit PovertyUSA.org. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
And also brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 426 is the Brown Perspective on Sport time. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Well, I guess since we know, I mentioned briefly, the games that are coming up today and afterwards. Let me give you my picks, I guess. I guess I should give you my picks. I guess I would take Maryland over Hawaii. And I take Kansas over Maryland. I would have Villanova over Iowa. Villanova was in first place at some point during this year. So they should defeat Iowa and also defeat Miami. Oregon versus St. Joe's. I got Oregon. Excuse me. And the winner plays Duke. Haven't seen Duke, but I'll give the nod to Coach K in that one. Northern Iowa versus Texas A&M. I'll go with Texas A&M. And VCU versus Oklahoma, I'll go with Oklahoma. And then I'll take Oklahoma over Texas A&M. How about that? North Carolina versus Indiana. Indiana had a lot of injuries in that game that they won against Kentucky. Kentucky still, like I said, couldn't pull it out. I'll take North Carolina over Indiana. And then Notre Dame plays Stephen F. Austin. Should be Notre Dame. And I'll take North Carolina over Notre Dame. Wisconsin versus Xavier. I'll take Wisconsin over Xavier. And Virginia versus Iowa State. I don't know. I heard Iowa State was pretty good. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing it with Iowa. But anyway, from the same state. But anyway, since I don't know which one is which, I'll take Virginia. And I'll take Virginia over Wisconsin. And Syracuse versus Middle Tennessee, Middle Tennessee State, by the way. I'll take Syracuse. And the winner plays Gonzaga. I'll take Gonzaga. Who knows? I saw a little bit of Syracuse earlier this year, and they were not impressive. Okay, let's go now to Ladies Madness. UConn is still rolling. They defeated Robert Morris handily, 101-49. Notre Dame, 95. North Carolina, 61. Maryland, 74. Iona, 58. Texas, 86. Alabama State, 42. UCLA, 66. Hawaii, 50. Kentucky, 85. UNC, Asheville, 31. Stanford, 85. San Francisco, 58. Where's Bill Russell when you need him? Florida State, 72, and Casey Jones. Florida State, 72, Middle Tennessee. Well, the Middle Tennessee ladies went down 72-55 to Florida State. To get two teams from small school like that into the playoffs tournament, hey, hats off to Middle Tennessee. And the guys are still alive, even though I didn't pick them. Texas A&M, 74, Missouri State, 65. South Dakota State, 74. Miami, 71. And I think that's an upset. South Florida, 48. Colorado State, 45. Didn't know that they had a shot clock? Anyway. Oklahoma, 61. Purdue, 45. Duquesne, 97. Seton Hall, 76. Washington, 65. Penn, 53. And this is an upset, I believe, sort of. Missouri, 78. BYU, 69. And Indiana, 62. Georgia, 58. That was all ladies' scores, in case you were wondering. And that UConn game, Brianna Stewart got 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Tuck got 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. Samuelson got 22 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist. Nurse got 14 points, no rebounds, 6 assists. Mariah Jefferson, 14 points, no rebounds, 5 assists. Butler got 2 points. Chong got 2 points. Williams got 2 points and five assists. And Collier got 14 points off the bench, nine rebounds and one assist. UConn rolling right along, 101 to Robert Morris, 49. And even though I didn't look for these scores, just ran out of time. But if you hadn't heard, Boston College's women's hockey team, they are also undefeated. If they win the championship, they'll go 41-0, and that will tie them with the Minnesota team that went 41-0 back in 2013. And I think Minnesota is one of the teams that they may still have to play. BC Eaglets, I guess they call them that. Eagles, Lady Eagles. Not Eaglets, I guess. Eaglets is the baby bird, right? BC Lady Eagles, they went overtime in their last game, and a few seconds into the overtime, scored a goal to win it and keep the record unblemished. So, even though they haven't been getting a whole lot of publicity, hats off to the Lady Eagles, and hopefully they go all the way along with the UConn Lady Huskies. So there, that would be a great sweep for New England lady sports. How about that? Okay, 4:33 here on WMFO, Medford in Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, March the 20th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, very simple. Give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. I love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Be back.
The next time someone asks you to contribute time or money to a cause, remember that in America, the Constitution doesn't require you to give food to the hungry. Nothing says you have to provide shelter for the homeless or even a blanket for someone who's cold. They have yet to pass an ordinance that forces you to visit the lonely or comfort the infirm. There's no statute that says you have to offer clothing to the poor or care to the sick. Nobody has to do much of anything for anybody. That having been said, more than 80 million people in America regularly donate time and money to their community anyway. Thank you for all you've given. Imagine what more could do. Call 1-800-55-GIVE-5. It's what in the world you can do.
A public service message brought to you by the Independent Sector and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. Okay, let's get right back into the sports scores. Let's go to the National Basketball Association yesterday. Denver 101, Charlotte 93, Detroit 115, Brooklyn 103. That helps the Celtics with their pick. I like the center from Kentucky. He's a freshman. He's kind of thin, but I think he can grow. He's going to grow into that body. And if he's coming out this year, if I had the Celtics pick and he was available, I would grab him. I forget what his name is. Sounds like a French name, but can't recall it, and so therefore I won't try to mess it up. But like I said, I like the way he played. Okay, OKC 115, Indiana 111. OKC is running through the East. Washington 99, New York 89. Atlanta 109, Houston 97. Miami 122, Cleveland 101. Chicago 92, Utah 85. And San Antonio 97, Golden State 79. That was a message game. Golden State's been, you know, defending champion. They were on their way. They're on, still on their way to setting a record for the most wins in a year. And San Antonio's been right behind them. And without all of the publicity, they've been doing great work as well. And I think they have two more games to play with each other. And so it'll be interesting. San Antonio went out and held down the Golden State high-scoring backcourt. And I think they, in my estimation, San Antonio has a better front court than Golden State, and a better bench probably up front as well, at least. So it'll be interesting to see whether San Antonio can continue that. I thought that the weak spot in the San Antonio club was Parker, who is not a great defensive player, and who's had problems scoring against Golden State in the game that they played. And everybody's saying, yeah, Golden State won last year, but they didn't have to play San Antonio. And they didn't have to play the Clippers. And so they had an easy run to the final. But hey, and they played and they played Cleveland without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So it'll be interesting to see what transpires from this point on. I think I like, you know, to me, Golden State has been shooting lights out. And the question is, are they that great, an undefendable team who can throw the ball in from all, or they can, as they come out of the locker room, they can throw in shots? I mean, Steph Curry has been doing that. And so therefore, you know, it's hard to say. I have to say, Seth Curry, to me, in my many years of following professional basketball, is probably the best shooter I've ever seen. Reggie Miller was like that. Tony Allen, I like that. but neither of them seem to be able to put the ball on the floor and get to the basket the way Steph Curry can. And so, therefore, if you play him close to stop the outside shot, he can get by it because of his ability to dribble. And also, he passes the ball. He does his scoring, to me, in the game, and I haven't watched him, thoroughly. I'm not an inside, spectator of what's going on in their offense. But he seems to pass the ball well. He doesn't hog the ball. Doesn't take, maybe does take shot to the crazy. But anyway, they go in. So many of them go in. So it'll be interesting to see whether San Antonio, with their, in my estimation, better front court, can hang on the seven game series with the world champion Golden State Warriors. 4:43 here on WMFO in Medford. Now, I had a memory blank there, freeze there. Celtics having problems since Jay Crowder went down with an injury, and then he was followed by Jonas Jerebko with an injury, and Kelly Olynyk was just coming back from injury. And one of the things that the Celtics didn't do, and I thought that they should have done it, which would have been a plus to me, maybe might not have won as many games early as they did, but if they'd given some of the guys that they kept sending down to Maine some playing time with the big club, they might have been better able to step in when these injuries crop up, because injuries are going to happen. But the main thing is, we still don't have that big guy. When Scola from Toronto can dominate a game, come on. That just shows you that we don't have anybody to combat that type of height. And so, therefore, we're suffering the consequence. But, hey, that makes our own pick a little more valuable as we fall. We lost 5 out of the last 6, 4 in a row. So we'll see. And in Crowder, we don't know when he's coming back. And when he does come back, we don't know what kind of condition he's going to be in after suffering that high ankle sprain. Anyway, we'll see what happens. 4:45 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Phone number 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. National Hockey League. Pittsburgh 4, Philadelphia 1. Minnesota 3, Carolina 2, San Jose 4, the New York Rangers 1, Toronto 4, Buffalo 1, Detroit 5, Florida 3, Calgary 6, New Jersey 3, Ottawa 5, Montreal zip, Dallas 3, New York Islanders zip, Tampa Bay 2, Arizona zip, St. Louis 3, Vancouver zip. And the Bruins broke the zip, but they didn't win. LA Kings 2 and Boston 1. In that game, in the first period at 19:09, Tanner Pearson got his 13th goal of the year for LA with assists from Shen and Le Cavalier. And 1-0 LA at the end of the first period. Second period, 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the second period, by the way, Alec Martinez got his 9th goal of the year with assist from Muzin and Kopitar. 2-0 LA. At 5:46, Tyler Randall got his 6th goal of the year, and it was unassisted. No scoring in the third period. Bruins go down 2-1 to LA. They didn't win a single game on this East Coast trip. Rask got stopped 18 shots, and Quick stopped 27. We got more shots on goal, and that happens quite often in some Bruins losses. In most Bruins games, I think they outshoot the other team as well. I'd said earlier, from my perspective, that the Bruins' problem was scoring, and then I looked at the stats, and they were way up there, third place, I believe, in scoring at one time, and they were briefly in first place. But that has not, they haven't been able to maintain that. And so, therefore, I think scoring and defense is the problem. And we'll see if they can right the ship. They hadn't been winning well at home, but they've been, you know, winning on the road. And now they got to turn around and win some games at home as well. It's 4:47 here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March the 20th, Palm Sunday edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in conversation. To do that, give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
The faces of influenza, groups who should be immunized every year.
I have a chronic medical condition.
Asthma.
I have COPD, a serious lung disease.
Pregnant during influenza season.
We live with a baby under 6 months old.
We're in the group 6 months through 18 years.
Age 50 or older.
Care for someone at risk.
live with someone at risk.
I live with someone at risk.
The American Lung Association asks, do you see your family or yourself here? I'm Christy Yamaguchi. As one of the many faces of influenza, you and I and those close to us need to get vaccinated. In an average year, about 36,000 people die from influenza and its complications. See your healthcare provider about getting vaccinated. It's a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza isn't the common cold. It's serious.
This message addresses seasonal influenza, a public service message from the American Lung Association.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:53 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here. Let's go to the New England Patriots. It's not football season, Donnelly, I know. But the Patriots have been making some headlines by people they've been trading and signing and everything else. So we should talk about that. That's sports, right? Absolutely. Patriots signed free agent Donald Brown, running back from the Chargers, who previously was with the Indianapolis Colts and a graduate of the University of Connecticut. Insurance, maybe. Deion Lewis is supposedly coming back. They've been negotiating with Garrett Blount, who doesn't seem to want to go anywhere. And so, therefore, I don't see they should have any problem re-signing him on a contract that everybody will be happy with. Brown, I guess, adds to it, and that allows... our other running back to stay on the on the special teams where he is so valuable. We signed Chris Long. He'll take the place of Jones, I assume, at defensive end. Jones, if you didn't hear, got traded to Arizona. And we picked up Jonathan Cooper and also a 2016 second round pick. And we also got four compensatory picks. So, therefore, the loss of our first-round pick and our fourth-round pick next year doesn't seem to be going to be that big a problem. Although getting a person who I guess was the 20-something, 27th pick or something like that in the draft wouldn't hurt. But, you know, you save some cap money anyway. Let's see, who else? We picked up a linebacker, Shay McClellan. I don't know that much about him, but he also comes from the Chicago Bears. We got Frank Kearse, a defensive end from Washington. And we picked up wide receiver Chris Hogan from Buffalo. We also signed linebacker Raymond Humber. I don't know where he came from, but and I don't know anything about him, so... we'll have to wait and see if Raymond makes the team. But the big pick, I guess, is Martellus Bennett, tight end from the Chicago Bears, who supposedly will give us the double tight end sets that we were looking for ever since Hernandez wound up in jail. And since Scott Cooper didn't fill in there, and Mike Williams is more of a blocking tight end, we'll see if Martellus Bennett supposedly... Well, what they're saying is Martellus Bennett's game is going to certainly improve just because of the fact that he has Tom Brady throw him to him. Now the question is, can he pick up the system? Because I guess fairly good wide receivers and tight ends have come in and have had problems knowing where to line up in the Patriots' passing scheme. But supposedly, like Gronkowski, Bennett can also block as well as catch the ball. So, you know, we should be looking forward to some good tight end play in the days ahead, if everything works out. Also, Jonathan Cooper, who was the seventh pick in the draft in 2013, has had injuries and... hopefully, with Dante Scarnecchia coaching him up, we're going to get some pretty good offensive line play out of the guys that we still have, as well as what Bennett can add. Cooper can add to this Patriots offensive line, which was a problem in the Denver game. Okay, it's 4:57 here on WMFO, 4:58 now on WMFO in Medford. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Be back next Sunday, Lord willing, talking more sports. And we'll be getting down to the end of the March Madness. And so we'll be able to give you some insight, hopefully, on the team to the left and who's going all the way. I guess with my picks that I threw out there today, I guess I would have to say I like Kansas to win it all. How about that? We'll see. Okay, we didn't get a chance to talk much about the Boston Red Sox, and I don't talk much about spring training baseball games because to me they don't mean much. But one guy I saw a message out about is Benintendi, who was the Red Sox number one pick last year, an outfielder who hit over 300 at Lowell last year. And so he'll probably go to Double A Portland, because in his first game, he got two hits, went 2-for-3. Good fielder, good solid hitter. We'll see where he fits in and how soon he can make it to the majors. Moncada has been looking pretty good in the time that he has been able to play with the big guys.